Good morning. And happy Sabbath. It's a lovely day outside, and it just always brings a smile to our face when Sabbath is a sunny day. Today, the topic that we'll be exploring is faith. And there's a lot that we can explore on faith, and it can't be comprehensive at all, but there's a few things that I would like to bring out. As you see, the service is also going to include your testimonies, and those testimonies that you'll bring us are going to be geared towards faith, how God has built it in your life, and what testimony do you have about God growing your faith. And so be thinking of something that, you know, maybe you'll recall as we're going over these this topic, that God has, which He is growing. Everyone is given a measure of faith, and so we all have something to say. Now, faith, the knowledge of faith, the knowledge of what the Scriptures means when urging upon us the necessity of cultivating faith, is more essential than any other knowledge that can be acquired. That was written in Review and Herald, October 18, 1898. And so as you can see, that if that's more essential than any other knowledge, then it's worth, you know, spending a little bit of time on and reflecting and sharing how God is growing us in knowledge of faith with Him. Last time we had a testimony service, I reminded us that we are in the Laodicean condition. We have a lukewarm condition that is a hopeless condition. Jesus says He is ready to spew us out of His mouth because we're neither cold nor hot. But there is a remedy. And so that's the encouraging part of that verse in Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And today we're going to look at the gold, which has two components to it, and it's faith and love. I saw the testimony of the true witness has not been half heeded. The solemn testimony upon which the destiny of the church hangs has been lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. The testimony must work deep repentance. All who truly receive it will obey it and be purified, and I believe that's a promise, as well as an injunction on us. The gold of faith and love, all these we must obtain before we can hope to enter the kingdom of God. And so we must look at what is faith, and you know, she says that the destiny of the church, if the destiny of the church hangs on what the true witness says, and we're not heeding what the true witness says, then we should pay attention. We should look into that. I also reminded us that we are here because of unbelief. Just like the children of Israel were exiting from Egypt and God was bringing them to the promised land, they weren't able to enter in, and they had to wander in the wilderness 40 years because of unbelief. And so if that's such a big issue, if that was the issue for the Israelites and the issue for us as well, what is the solution? How do we help to bring our part of the bargain with God, who actually provides all the faith? Faith isn't something that we generate, but we do open ourselves to His working in our lives. And so, a few questions. What is faith? What is the nature of the faith? And are there times in your life when people have put faith in you to do something that you didn't think you were capable of? Because there's a calling here that the true witness is calling us to some things that we may not think we're capable of. Do you believe what God says about himself and about you? Do you believe what God, that God says this is possible for you? Do you believe him? We were tested on the issue in, as I mentioned, in 1888. The message of righteousness by faith came to us, and it was a test, and that is when we entered the wilderness to wander, and that is due to our response to the message. We didn't think it was possible that God could make us righteous by faith. We thought there must be something that we have to do in order to gain that righteousness. So how do we avoid these same mistakes again? It is important to realize that we're tested as individuals, but we're also tested as a group. And so what we do to encourage each other and what we do to in our experience with others can either strengthen or weaken our faith. And so that should be something that we strive to do as we come together on the Sabbath day. Sometimes people say, well, I was blessed or I wasn't blessed when they go to church. But really, ultimately, one of our goals in coming together is to be a blessing and to bless others. And by doing that, just that, we receive a blessing. Faith is sometimes competes with reality, and how we see it. We see that there's a competition going on, and when Eve was tempted in the garden, she saw the fruit that it was good to eat. She analyzed it; that it had turned a dumb serpent into a talking serpent. It was reasoning with her and giving scientific evidence that it was good to eat. And so she had to compare what the serpent was saying and what God was saying, and she believed the words of Satan. But her belief did not save her from the penalty of sin. She disbelieved the words of God, and this is what led to her fall. In the judgment, men will not be condemned because they conscientiously believed a lie, but because they did not believe the truth. Because they neglected the opportunity of learning what is truth. Notwithstanding the sophistry of Satan to the contrary, it is always disastrous to disobey God. We must set our hearts to know what is truth. All the lessons which God has caused to be placed on record in his word are for our warning and for our instruction. They were given to save us from deception. Their neglect will result in ruin to ourselves. Whatever contradicts God's word, we may be sure it proceeds from Satan. So does it matter what you put your faith in? Evidently, you can be sincerely wrong, and that doesn't help you. You can be deceived, and that doesn't help you. If what matters is that you understand God's word and that you put faith in that word, regardless of what the world is telling you all around. We have come through a period that I think has been a great faith builder for many that had to exercise their faith. We saw an event that had various responses. There was opposition to various mandates and to protocols based on religious grounds, and these some of these mandates seemed quite logical and reasonable, but there was still numbers that said, well, even though the world is saying one thing, I believe God is telling me something different. And so one of these things, this is Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so I think that, some saw a dichotomy between what the world was saying, you need to shut down and isolate. And others that said, well, God said we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves. We need to actually do it even the more. And so there was some struggles that happened in that. There were livelihoods that were put at stake, and it takes faith to stand on the promises of God. We know from prophecy that there will be more trials. This isn't the only trial that we've faced, that we'll face as a church and as a nation and as a world. There will be more, but each one of these trials is calculated to strengthen our faith. And we know that that the Sabbath will be a testing time, but is it enough to just go to church on Saturday? Is that enough to put that in your back pocket and say, well, I go to church on Saturday, and so I'm going to pass that test. When God created the world, the plants and the animals and the dry land, He also created the plan of salvation, and that is a plan of recreation. He created the world, and He created the ability to save us. And there was a possibility that things would go sideways and that there would be a need to prove or demonstrate His character. And so, in order to silence the lies that were told about Him and to regain that trust, to essentially recreate us, our hearts, and to make us alive, He had a plan all worked out. And so when He rested on the Sabbath, when He was able to put all that work aside, that salvation, that everlasting gospel, was already a part of the program. It was baked in. And so that's why He could really rest. And so then we rest in that knowledge of Him that has already worked these things out from the beginning to the end. And we can rest assured that He will continue that work in us to its completion. And so that's a spirit part of the Sabbath, in not only honoring Him on the day that He said, it's also a honoring Him in being an example, being melt into His character. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so you see, He created us to walk in these good works, and then we died. We chose to die. And it is only by choosing to die to that life that we can actually be quickened and made alive. And so He has that plan of salvation for us, which the Sabbath is a memorial of as well. And that that recreation, as you see, brings with it new desires and a new heart, which He says He will put new desires in. He'll give us the desires of our heart. And in other words, the desires of our natural heart are no good at all. But He gives you new desires. Have you ever taken a stroll across a lake? Raise your hand if you've taken a stroll across. Nobody? has taken a stroll. Okay. Well, this fellow, his name is Shi Liliang, I think, and he's a monk in China that had a burning desire to walk on water. He realized that to do this without some assistance was impossible, so he got himself some plywood and strapped it together, and he's sort of cheating, and he's not really walking across water, but this fellow has some determination. He practices every day, carrying a steel plate on his back and iron bars on his feet. And he's done this for more than 10 years, every day. And he can walk, using these boards on water, he can walk about 350 feet before he sinks into the water. That's pretty good determination, isn't it? But how does that compare with what Jesus did? You know, the night that Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee, if he continued walking, now he was interrupted. He didn't walk clear across the lake, but it would have been about 8 miles across. Now, 350 feet is pretty good, but compared to, you know, 8 miles, not so much. And that I would say is a rough comparison if you want to contrast this fellow with righteousness by works and righteousness by faith, and which is what it is. The story of Jesus inviting Peter, Matthew 14. Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if thou bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, it was already phenomenal that he was, you know, walking on water. But Jesus said, why did you doubt? Don't you know that we could have just walked across the rest of the lake together? We didn't have to get into this boat. And it was just his lack of faith. But Jesus gave them the experience for a purpose. We don't have a record of him walking on water again, but he gave that experience to them for a purpose. He could have walked further away from them at that, you know, that night. There was a storm. They were drifting off course. They were going not where they had planned to go. The winds were against them. Jesus knew where he was going. He could have said, well, I'm actually going to go to where I was planning to go, and maybe they'll find me or something. But he didn't. He walked just far enough away that they couldn't recognize his face, but I believe they recognized his gait. You know how when you know somebody pretty well, you can recognize that the way they walk from a distance. I believe that's how he appeared to them, and so they strained their eyes and said, "Oh, that's the way he's walking. I think I recognize that." But let's be sure. Let's be sure it's because this is. We've heard of all kinds of miracles, but walking across water, I don't know if that's possible. So he was giving a challenge and an opportunity to strengthen their faith, and Peter's in particular. He went out of his way to give Peter an experience that said, I trust you. Do you trust me? And the Christian life is the walk on water experience. It is living and doing the impossible. It is not just being forgiven of our sins, but being cleansed from unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. It gives us the new desires, the new victories, and the freedom from the bondage of Satan. It is taking mountains and casting them into the sea. It is conquering giants. Did you know how God was planning to take over the Canaan land for the Israelites? By insects. Is that how they did it? What was the report of the 10 spies? There was a report that said, we're like grasshoppers. There were two that had good news and said, we're more than able. But they saw giants in the land. But God said, I was going to drive those out with insects, with hornets. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. Wouldn't that have been a bit simpler? But it wasn't all, loss. They did get to work by faith. They had to work a little harder, but they didn't believe it at first, and that was the problem. It was too crazy to be true. What people takes over a land by hornets? I haven't heard of any since. So, how do we avoid disbelieving that God can do as He says? There's ways that we can do it, and it's small. It comes down to small things. By talking faith, by walking faith, and encouraging others. By realizing that sometimes God gives us an experience to demonstrate what God is capable of for others. And I think one of the examples in the Bible that I reflect on, it's not something that is, one of the most predominant stories you hear about when you hear about faith. But I think that the story of Caleb is one of great faith. Not just before when the spies went out, but in his later life. And I just want to read a few paragraphs from Patriarchs and Prophets about that story. Caleb and Joshua were the only ones among the spies who had brought a good report of the land of promise, encouraging the people to go up and possess it in the name of the Lord. Caleb now reminded Joshua of the promise then made as the reward of his faithfulness. Quote, the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. He therefore presented a request that Hebron be given him for possession. Here had been the home of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and here in the cave of Machpelah they were buried. But there was something wrong with Hebron. Hebron was the seat of the dreaded Anakim, whose formidable appearance had terrified the spies and destroyed the courage of all Israel. This was the place which Caleb, trusting in the strength of God, chose for his inheritance. Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. His claim was immediately granted. Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for his inheritance, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb had believed God's promise that he would put his people in possession of Canaan. He had endured the long wandering in the wilderness, sharing the disappointments and the burdens of the guilty. Yet he made no complaint, but exalted the mercy of God that preserved him in the wilderness when his brethren were cut off. He didn't ask for himself a land already conquered, but the place which above all others the spies had thought impossible to subdue. The brave old warrior was desirous of giving the people an example that would honor God and encourage the tribes to subdue the land which their fathers had deemed unconquerable. Trusting in God to be with him, he drove thence the three sons of Anak. Having thus secured possession for himself in his house, he did not settle down to enjoy his inheritance, but pushed on to further conquests for the benefit of the nation and the glory of God. The cowards and rebels had perished in the wilderness, but the righteous spies ate of the grapes of Eshcol. The unbelieving had seen their fears fulfilled. They had declared it impossible to inherit Canaan, and they did not possess it. But those who trusted in the strength of their almighty helper entered the goodly land. Through faith, the ancient worthies subdued kingdoms, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And that's in Hebrews. So you see Caleb, he wasn't just doing it to get himself an inheritance either. He was doing it to inspire those around him, realizing that God was able to, but they would be inspired by his example as he proved God's working through him. And so God is doing the same thing to us. He's calling us to walk on the water with him, to do what seems impossible. And so, and you can be like Caleb, like Peter, and be his witness. Have there been experiences in your life that God has given you to be a witness and to basically honor God in his working in your life? And you know, I think of a number in my life that where people trusted me, gave me faith, had faith in me that built us up, built me up. And that's what God does to us. He gives us something that we're afraid of, potentially, but then he gives us the victory. And so in giving us the victory and being more than conquerors, it's a step of faith. From faith to faith, that means from one faith to the next faith. And the journey doesn't end. It's not as if you arrive at having all faith. But God gives you more and more faith until ultimately, as one person, there was a missionary that went to a tribe, and I don't remember where it was, but he had a trouble when he was there. He said they do not have a word for faith in their language. And so he thought about this, you know, what can I do to demonstrate that? And then one day a fellow came into his house and sat down in a chair, and he said, oh, it's so good to put all my weight on this chair. And so then he had the answer. He said, well, that's faith. You're putting all your weight on that chair, and that's the way it is. God is leading us. At this point, you know, we don't, you know, I don't think most of us have all our weight completely on Jesus. We have dependence on the world, but we know that that's not going to last forever. God's going to give us opportunities and trials that give us more and more victories that allow us to put more and more weight on him. One of my experiences that you might be able to relate to, when I was in academy, I went to academy at Upper Columbia, and it was the same academy that the previous pastor, Philip Schultz, sent his daughters to. And so we got acquainted, and we actually did some carpooling. But he was there at, it was my senior year, and I was able to give a sundown meditation talk. And I personally didn't feel like I had too much to say, but God had given me an experience that year. And so I related that experience. The experience was that my cousin was visiting, and he came for the weekend, and he had his car keys. He had driven there, and so, but he had no pocket to put his car keys, and so he gave them to me and said, hey, Steve, can you take my car keys? And I said, okay, sure, I have a pocket. And then I didn't think of it anymore until they needed to leave on Sunday evening. And he said, where's my keys? Don't you have my keys? And I said, well, I put them right here, but they aren't here anymore. And so there was a bit of frantic searching, and you know, thoughts about where in the world they could be, and I checked my pocket over and over, and they weren't there. And it was, you know, obvious that they weren't there, and so there was no other choice for us to, you know, to take but to pray. So we got down and prayed, and then we prayed, and then we got up, and then what do you do? Well, I went right back to the pocket that I had checked about five times before, and I put my hand in the pocket, and there were the keys. And that was something that, to me, was obvious that, you know, God had done that. It wasn't a lapse on my part because I made an intention. It was like I was, I knew that the keys wouldn't be there, but I had to check several times. And then I felt inspired to check it again and see what God had done. And so I related that, and Pastor Schultz said to me at that point, well, you should be a minister. And I said, well, I don't think I told him, but I didn't have any desire to be a minister, and public speaking was not something that I felt qualified to do, and I still don't, but it seemed like such a big responsibility. But he had, as a person, put faith in something that I didn't feel qualified to do. And so the interesting irony is that, you know, today I'm here at a pulpit that he spoke for many times, and of course not ever dreaming that would be possible. And so I'm sure there's times that people have put responsibilities and put faith in you. God has put faith in you as well, and that does nothing but grow you. And when he puts his faith in you, he has wisdom, and he has the power to make it happen in you. It's not put in there in you by accident. Matthew 28, he says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the world. So he has given us a qualification and a call to do something is impossible, and I encourage you to walk on water. He invites us to be like a Caleb and like a Peter, and to take the step from faith to faith. And so I'd ask, who is willing to let God work the impossible in our lives? Amen. So we'll have our testimony time at this point. And we want to gear them about experiences of faith and how God has strengthened your faith. I know that there's some good stories out here. And we come together not, as I mentioned, not to just be blessed, but to be a blessing. And so, as I, you know, I felt that that experience that God gave me was given to me to not just to bless my experience, but to bless others. And that actually, you know, gave a testimony when I gave the sundown meditation. God had given me something. I had, you know, we don't always have wisdom to know what to present, but we can present our experience, and God gives us experiences just for the fact of encouraging others. And so some have wondered, maybe why have testimonies? Why take the time to hear each other? And just as we read, the exhorting of each other, and we can't come together just to be silent. We need to encourage each other and bless each other in hearing how that experience has led us to a closer walk with God. And so There's a microphone up here, and I'll just step down here. And those that have a good testimony from this week or from earlier in their life, don't be bashful. We know it sometimes takes somebody to break the ice, but hi.
Hi, Mark.
I'm glad to meet you, Mark.
My name is Mark, and I got into mining gold a long time ago. I'm 63 now. I just had brain surgery. God led me through there and guided all the doctors. I was very excited because I'm here in Portland, Oregon, and God brought me to Portland, Oregon, because he wanted me to share the light of his son. And God is light. And
Amen.
He said, let there be light mm-hmm. on Genesis Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make sure I get all that right.
Yeah.
But Jesus is the light of the world, and he wants to share with you the light inside of you with everyone else, and that's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
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 I was on the 6,500 foot level of the King Lear when I was mining one day, and I had a lot of investors putting money into the project, and I had to think, you know, if this was the right thing for me or not. And I got very good at mining gold and all that stuff, and which was interesting in your passage about faith
right.
and love.
We're to get the gold of yes. heaven, which...
And if you clean the gold out, you only have pure gold left over. But there's always a part of the gold, if you look at the gold bullion. This little tiny speck of dirt could be iron, could be copper, could be anything. But in Jesus, there is no copper, there is
Amen.
No iron. And that's what you find out when you're, you know, helping other people. And so to have that light in you and share that light with the rest of the world, that's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
So it's
Amen.
Like going to a concert or a church gathering where you have everybody lights the candles for Christmas. That covers the light of Jesus. That's who Jesus is. He's
yeah.
light. In the darkness, it would help, like the
yeah.
moon, you
yeah.
know, helps the sun, like the wife helps the husband.
Yeah.
All these things God associates all in his plan. And one thing I found out when I was at the King Lear was when I was walking up this hill, everybody had gone home. And all of a sudden it started raining on me, but there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And I thought, wow, this is pretty serious. So I thought maybe I better pay attention. So I asked a lot of questions and I got a lot of answers. And all the answers came from one source, and that was the Word of God.
Amen. Thank you.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you. We want the pure gold, don't we? 100% pure.
I'll be good and introduce myself this time.
Good.
Janine Goodwin. Psalm 107 is starting to become one of my favorite psalms. And it begins with a clarion call. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Many of you know that my mother had a stroke last Friday, not yesterday. And I have since given an update that the Lord has pulled her through.
Amen.
You know, I can't tell her story. It's not mine to tell. But I will say this. God made my mama strong. Mama should have been gone many times, and each time he has redeemed her from the hand of the enemy. And most of you know my prayer has been, as long as she has breath, she has time. So pray with me that before she breathes her last, she will give her heart to the Lord.
Amen.
A second thing is, it was 3 weeks ago. It was 3 weeks ago I was having time with God, and I had asked him how he wants to use me for that day. And some names came into my mind. I'm not going to share them here, but the names of three women. And two of the women, I was curious about why they came into my mind. And it became more clear that I needed to reach out to them and ask them to study the word with me. And then I got a little scared because I knew somehow that if I asked them, they might be turned off a little bit because they've already been a little hesitant in conversations in the past. But wouldn't you know, I said, Lord, if you're telling me these ladies, then I will reach out to these ladies and invite them. And the worst they can do is say no. I don't think that they'll say, I'm not your friend no more. So I was like, I'll just invite them to study the Bible with me. Wouldn't you know, they all said yes.
Amen.
They all said yes, and we have been meeting weekly on Wednesday evenings studying the Word of God. Amen. So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. If you step out on faith, he will come through for
you. Amen. Hi, Abigail.
Hi, everybody. I'm Abigail, and I have last week, we were gonna go somewhere, and we lost the money, and I started praying, and then when I got up, Ezra told me where it was, and then I started looking, praying, and my mom told me that it was good and that my prayers always work.
Amen. So you found the money, just like that. That's the power of prayer.
Hi, I'm Melissa. I guess a few weeks ago, God had just brought it to my mind that as I became an adult, I was learning about faith and, well, Jesus in general. I didn't grow up with that as a child. And so when we started attending church and they were talking about in the end times and you having to drop everything and run to the mountains, in a teasing way, I had basically told somebody that I trusted that, call me, because I'm going to follow you into the mountains. I wasn't confident that I would know where to go. And since that time, God took away my trust in that person. And I guess after this revelation a few weeks ago, that it's just, I know now that I can only trust in God to lead Amen. Me where I need to go.
Amen. Looks like you're prepared.
I had to write it down. I'm getting
awesome.
Younger. I'm getting younger, Stace. Well, I have three wonderful testimonies that really built my faith this week.
Don't get to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello? Okay. Wednesday, you know, my gas station ministry, I call it. At Chevron Station, I always go there when I'm on my way to Winco. Food to get something. And, I was looking around. At first, I was hesitant. I wasn't going to give out any books. You know, I have my trunk full of books. And so there were two gentlemen working on their car. You know, God is so amazing. I believe he strategically placed them there. They're working on their car, the Hispanic young man. And the Lord said, you got Spanish Great Controversies and Desire of Ages on your car. go give those young men books. So I walked over to them and a small brief conversation, asked did they like to read, did they like history. They both said yes. I said, I have some gifts to give you. Would you take them if I give them to you? They said, yes. So I gave them the books. Both of them are Desire of Ages and Controversy. And they thanked me. I said, God bless you. And then prior to that, I was walking out after paying for my gas. And I saw this young lady. I said, Lord, keep her there. If it's your will for me to give her a book, okay. So I approached her. I said, hello, sister. How are you? Do you like to read? Do you like history? Oh, yes, I do. And so I said, I have a gift for you. Would you like a gift? If you'd like to read? She said, yes. So I went in the trunk and gave her the gift, which was The Great Controversy. And then, after giving those young men The Great Controversy, there was this lady that was parked behind me, parked another vehicle, and she was Hispanic. God said, give her one too, after giving those two gentlemen. And so four people right there at the gas station. And then, on Thursday, this was Wednesday. Oh, but prior, Wednesday also, that day at work, I gave another Hispanic lady The Great Controversy and Desire of Ages, and she thanked me. And on Thursday, I took care of hospice patients and everything, so I needed to give some shower caps to a lady whose husband, you know, they need to shampoo his hair because they didn't have a sink, they had running water. And so, okay, I thought I was speaking loud enough.
It's fine.
Okay. And so anyway, so I made a detour after taking care of some of the residents, patients, to go give her the shower cast for her husband, and he was dying. And so I had seen him 2 days before, giving him a bed bath, and then I said, okay, I'm going to go give her a shower cast. And so I knocked on the door. I said, Debbie, it's Tarlene. I came to get your shower cast and everything. She said, come here. My husband's dying as we speak. So I said, well, can I see him? And so she said, yes. So I went in, gently touched his arm and called his name. He opened his eyes real quickly. Then he closed his eyes back. You know, she says oxygen was like 40%, and he wouldn't last through the night. And so then I said, well, can I pray for you guys? And so I began to pray for them. And then she grabbed me and hugged me and thanked me. And so then I was impressed to give her some books. I gave her Acts of the Apostles, Ministry of Healing, Desire of Ages, Great Controversy. I just loaded her down. And I gave her this book, Love Unlimited, which has Steps to Christ and Thoughts for the Mount of Blessings in it. She looked at that book, a smile came to her face, and she grabbed me again and thanked me and gave me a hug. She says, if you're ever in the neighborhood, please come by and visit with me. So I would like to eventually get a card for her and would like you guys to sign a sympathy card for her. And then also her neighbor came out, you know, and the Lord said, give her books too. Popped the trunk, you know, and gave her Mystery of Healing and Great Controversy, and she took the books. Friday, I had to go back to Salem and turn some paperwork in. I needed some gas for the car, so I went to Shell Station, and there was a young man there who was pumping the gas. While he's pumping my gas in front of my car, I asked for his future, 20-year-old gentleman. And we began to talk briefly and everything like that. I said, do you like history? Do you like to read? He said, yes. I said, I have a gift for you. Would you like a gift? He said, yes. So I popped my trunk again and gave him a Great Controversy.
Man.
And so nine, you know, all of this between Wednesday and Friday, the Lord blessed me to share the leaves of autumn. And so the leaves of autumn, just like the leaves that fall from the tree, they are nourishing to the soil. And same as God's word. He says, spread the books like the leaves of autumn, that they may nourish the souls of people.
And so people are receptive. Sounds like there's still some people out there that, you know, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful.
And the labor of few, but go you into the harvest.
But you're finding people that are open and ready for it.
Yeah, and in my business, you know, I have to be very careful because I do work in the medical field. And so, but when God impresses upon you, it's better to obey God than man.
Amen. Thank you.
Too tall for me. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I have a testimony on yesterday. Yesterday, around 10 o'clock in the morning, I met one of my customers in the parking lot in my house. So this girl, I know her since 20 years ago. She's from the community, gypsy community, you know. And I've been praying for them. And I know many of them, and I've been praying for them. And I have time to talk to some of them, especially to the dad and mom of this girl. But when I met her, I remember her. But yesterday was special because she had questions for me. So I give her what she wanted from me, so I give her stuff. And then she said, Miriam, I have a question. We always talk about God. And yes, I say, yes, what is your question? He says, look, there is people who's coming and saying that it's okay to sin. She was telling me that. But then I went, no, you know. And I said, okay. And I said, she said, what do you think about that? And I said, what did the Bible say? You know? And she told me, since I was 8, I give my heart and all my body to Jesus. She's 38 something. And I remember, she remembered because they don't read. Only men sometimes, okay? And some women very little. But I remember what is this scripture says. And I remember about Mary Magdalene when Jesus said, where are those who condemn you? No one though, neither I. Go and sin no more. And so we start talking about the Bible and it says, what the Bible said then? Go and sin no more. When God forgive you, you are free, but not to sin. So she has those thoughts clear. And I said, okay. So I said, okay, I'm right. Said, yes, that's what the word of the Lord said. And I said, you know, for us, for a Christian, we had to follow what the Bible says, not what I think or what other people think. It's what the word of the Lord says. Amen. And she said, yes. And then she said, oh, we're starting about the book of Hebrews, or pastor. I said, okay. And she asked me that question, and I believe that Paul wrote Hebrews. That's what I believe. If I'm wrong, correct me. But I believe that Paul wrote it. And I explained to her, I think Paul wrote it, but why his name is not in there, because this is about Christ, his ministry, about the sanctuary, how he's plan of salvation for us, for you and me, and start explaining that. And I said, see, that's what I said. Everything is about Jesus. And I think it's Paul. She told me that. I said, okay. And then she goes, tell me something about rapture. And I said, oh, honey, that's not true. You know, I talked to her like that. That's not true. Wait. She said, don't interrupt me. I said, okay. Because people is saying that when you go to heaven, you're going to go in the spirit. And she said, I don't believe that. And I said, what the Bible says? You tell me. Give me the text. Because she had learned by hearing. Mm-hmm. Because she cannot read. Mm-hmm. And then I remember, she said, that the Lord, if we are faithful and we walk with the Lord, if those who die, he will resurrect. Mm-hmm. She's quoting who? What? Mm-hmm. Second, 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 to 18. And I smile and say, yes. And she continues, okay, I'm going to give you the text. And she handed me a note and a pencil and said, please write it for me. I want to give it to my pastor. Amen. Because I'm telling my pastor, don't listen to that people. You are a pastor, but you should go by the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And we start talking about the Lord. And you know, when I said to her, Jesus is coming soon, she said, yes, Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
So the Lord has other sheep in other places. They are getting ready. They know that God send his son not to continue living in sin. And for me, that was like, wow. And you know, the Lord is faithful. And he knows the heart of every person and the limits that they have. because most of them, they grew up like that. And he's telling me, and I've been praying for them, and I said, Lord, how can I reach them? I don't have power. I'm a sinner, but I want to. And he showed me yesterday that he's working in their hearts. He's preparing people. I know them since 20 years ago, and I have probably like 7 to 10 persons that I had sharing with them. But this girl showed me that the Lord is working in their hearts. Amen. It's not only her, but even the pastor. And when the people said to the pastor, no, we are free to sin, the pastor said, go and sin no more.
Amen.
Jesus said that to the woman. And I say to you, go and sin no more. So there are people that are ready. The only thing we had to do is to share. Amen. And ask the Lord to give us the power and the strength. And he will make the way for us to do it. And I praise God for that. And I share with my brothers and sisters that yesterday was a very special day. It was a bribing. It was different. And I experienced that sharing with others give you life.
Amen.
And give you energy, that good energy that only can come from God. And that's what I experienced sharing with others. And thank you. God bless
Amen.
You all.
Thank you, Miriam.
My name is Renee.
Hi, Renee.
Hi. So my most current faith-building experiences have involved watching the end times come to pass. It's just really exciting to see things really happening that the Bible has prophesied. And I grew up in an Adventist home, and so I've had a lot of time to have doubts, and I've had many doubts of especially things like the way Adventists believe that end times are going to come about are so different from the rest of the world. And so, you know, I had my doubts, but the last few years I'm seeing more and more of those things happen exactly the way that Ellen White predicted them and that, of course, the Bible predicts. And so it's really exciting. It was really hard for me until a few years ago to believe that the Catholicism would be able to do what's predicted, you know. And then just bam, things started happening the way they are predicted in Spirit of Prophecy and the Bible. And so that's been a really strong faith builder. When I was younger, I was just, okay, I'm going to wait and see. You know, I'm, what else are you going to do? So last night was the latest one. We watched Walter Veit's program on YouTube or Rumble something. And he mentioned that the Pope had given, let me think of the word, indulgence. He was offering indulgences to people who listened to his Easter program, speech, whatever. It's like, indulgences? That's so medieval, you know. And yet, here in 2024, it's happening. You know, it's just, wow. It's pretty crazy.
Amen. Do we have a sure word of doctrine? Amen. Hi, Susie. Yeah.
Okay, my name is Susie. Can you hear me?
No.
A little closer.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Okay, so I want to tell you a story but about a mission trip just a little bit in case we tell you more about it. Anyway, we rented a van and we were in the van and we were driving. And you know how you get distracted, you fall asleep, you're talking, whatever? Well, my sister Sylvia was driving the van and she drove the whole time, but she was driving and we didn't pay attention. We were talking or sleeping. And finally she says, "You guys, I can't see. It's so foggy. I can barely see in front of me and I'm driving and I'm going to hit something." So I said, Deanna's went with us and I go, "Deanna's, can you pray with me?" So we bow our heads and I asked God to lift it up so she, you know, so we wouldn't get in a crash or something. And as soon as we were done praying, you know what? It cleared up. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. So I wanted to read you this promise. I love this promise. It's so good. Because we can all claim this. Hold on, I better find it here. Okay, it's Psalms 34:17. It says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." He will be there for us no matter what. We just call on his name, and he will be there.
Amen.
I'm April. The guy that I'm witnessing to on the train right now, James, the last time I talked to him, which was probably about 3 weeks or more ago.
Come closer.
He actually told me he was interested in studying the Bible. So that was right before I left to go see my parents. So there was no way of seeing him again to give him anything before leaving. But this morning I saw him for the first time since coming back, and was able to give him some Bible study things for him to start on. And so he seemed to be very highly interested in them, and we got to chat a little bit before I had to get off. And so just keep them in your prayers. Thanks.
Amen.
All right, every time there's testimonies, I always sit in the back and say, the next time they have them, I'll go up front. And another one passes by, and I still don't go up front, so I said, this time I will.
Amen.
I remember Pastor Schultz, by the way.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good man. So, good afternoon. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Sabbath blessings. My name is Greg Keller. A few years ago, there was a windstorm that kind of blew down some fence panels in the backyard. That next morning, I looked out and saw that three panels were on the ground. And I just went outside and kind of assessed everything and saw the materials that I'd need to put it back up. And my neighbor on the other side, he texted me and said, "Hey, this is Dwee. Do you want to go in half on this fence so we can get it put back up?" And I was like, "Sure, you know." I said, "You know, I'll tell you what. I have a little bit of time off. I'll put the fence up, you know. And I know how to put a fence up, so I'll just do it." I realized later on, I said, "I've never put a fence on a slope before. I've only done it on level ground." I've had geometry in the past. I've had math. I've done a little bit of building trades and landscaping, and I could not figure out how I can get the posts in a way where it would look good on a slope. And so I said, "You know what? I'm going to ask God." And I claimed the promise. Excuse me if I get...
It's okay.
I just said I'm going to claim the promise of James 1:5. Mm-hmm. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Then I got on my knees and I claimed that promise. And before I got up off my knees, there was a sketch of a fence in my head.
Amen.
From the top post to the bottom post, there was a string, a line that went from the top to the bottom. And I just said, I can't believe this.
Amen.
And my niece earlier just gave that text about the redeemed of the Lord giving praise unto him. And let me tell you, I was giving him praise. So, yeah, just any problem that you have, God will answer if you go to him in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Do we have any others? I think we have one more, two more. If you keep it, you have two coming up here. I might have to draw straws, or the fast one wins. Okay.
Can I hold it?
Yeah, you can hold it if you be careful.
I'll be brief. I don't know what you've all been talking about or what your testimonies have been, but I was supposed to tell you this the last time we had testimonies. Anyway, let me catch my breath. There are three little things, quote, little things that have happened in my life. One has to do with money. $718.52 in my mind is practically $1,000, isn't it? To you? I mean, it's pretty close. Anyway, I was overseas and I used my credit card, which has a chip on it. Most credit cards do these days. And when I came back, actually, when I was overseas, I was contacted by a bank. It's a credit union, and they said, is this charge yours? And I said, no, absolutely not. I don't spend that kind of money. Came back home, and I thought everything was fine. And they contacted me again and asked me what I had charged and when I was expecting the delivery of whatever it was that I charged. And I said, no, I said I didn't charge this. Long story short, this went on for, this happened in November. It went on through, I think, January or February. I thought it was, you know, all done and clear and everything. And they kept saying, no, sorry, we've investigated it. It's your dime. It's your expense. And I said, no, I couldn't be in two places at one time. They told me that the charge took place in a suburb of where I was, but I was in the city, not in the suburb. And I said, I'm still not God. I can't be in two places at one time. So very long story short, right before we went on our mission trip to Guatemala, they contacted me. They left me a voicemail saying, well, they've once again researched your situation and you don't have to pay that money. That was Amen. A great relief. I'm kind of frugal. I don't have a lot of money these days, but I don't like to throw money away. And I told them, had I made that charge, I would gladly have paid it. But when you didn't do something and you're made responsible for it, I'll fight you to the tooth because it's not right. And fortunately, this is not a big bank because that would have been maybe easier to fight it. But the credit union came through. So thank you, God, for that. So that's one. That was a monetary situation. Actually, there's another monetary situation. I was given a credit card. After you spend so much money, they sometimes give you credit cards that have credit on them. So I did receive a credit card for a certain amount of money, and I hid it. I don't know if many of you or any of you hide things in your own homes. I do, and then I forget where I do it, where I hide it. You're supposed to write that down, I suppose. And one time I put that same card between towels, and I couldn't remember. So I had to pay $6 to get the card reissued. This time, I hid it, and I just couldn't remember where it was. But you know what happens when you lose something in your house? You clean house, deep clean, because you ransack every drawer, everything, and your house gets really clean that way. But I couldn't find it, and then one day I did actually locate it under a rug. So that was another answer to prayer. And that was, okay, I'll tell you, it's $500. $500 is almost $1,000 again. And the last best thing that has happened to me recently, which is really, really personal and major. It's major, major, but I don't know how it's going to pan out because it's two people involved. I have an estranged sister that I may have already spoken to you about one time. I haven't seen her since I was 18 years old. She just turned 70, and her husband has been in hospice, had been in hospice, and he died. So when he died, when he was about to die, rather, she contacted me after, like I said, she hadn't contacted me since she was 18. So, I mean, that was on one of my small little prayer lists, and it doesn't sound like a big thing, but it's huge because I don't have another full-blooded sister. I have two half-sisters who, when my father died, completely shunned my brother and I. So to have my original blood sister possibly be coming back into my life is monumental. Amen. I have no idea if she wants a relationship with me. She wants to use me as a beneficiary when she passes. I could give a care about her money. I want the relationship. So if you could pray for that for me, that's one thing I really would want, is to have a relationship with my estranged older sister. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, this is something that has happened to me personally in the context of strengthening of the faith, God strengthening the faith, yeah? The spirit of prophecy describes the papacy as a giant system. And I live in an RV. And so I'm looking, and I've become afraid. Because what am I? I'm no giant. But what has come to me is that God's people in the last days will not be victims. Amen. And I'd like to share a little bit of how I came to that conclusion. And I will share no new text with you today. This is Daniel chapter 3.
Need a printed one? Technology is sometimes great and awesome.
Okay, this is Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set. Does this sound like a victim to you?
No.
They were not victims. Mm-hmm. They made the decision to serve God even under pain of death. Is that a new scripture?
No.
This is Jesus, under the influence of the Spirit of God, Jesus said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was not a victim. He had power to lay his life down of himself. And this is a reading about what you will become. You will not be a victim. You will be a victor by God's grace. One more. I think this is my favorite. This is Jesus again. When they came to take him and the disciples fought for his life. Jesus says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Does this sound like mm-hmm. a victim to you?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I can pray now and escape, but he made the decision under the influence of the Spirit of God to remain in the fire. It was his choice. He laid down his life. And so in the final days when the trouble comes upon this world, we won't be victims of the papacy or of Satan. We will, under the influence of God, make the decision to lay down our lives. So this is just a little piece of what has come to me. We should not be afraid for what's coming, because we have evidence of those who were in a worse position than we are. We will not be in the position to bear the sins of the entire world. But Jesus said, under that weight, I lay it down of myself.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Shannon. And thank you all for your testimonies. I think you can see that we have experiences of faith. We all have experiences of faith. And if you have, if you'd like to have a experience of faith, just pray to God that he'll give you some trial and he can take you out of it. That's often, the way we should look at trials is to give thanks in everything, give thanks, and realizing that God's will is more is going to benefit us in some way. And Ellen White says, if we had looked at the whole situation from beginning to end, we wouldn't change a single thing. So thank God for your testimonies. Dear Father, we thank you for bringing to us faith, your faith, and we pray that you'll give us more faith. We have heard your counsel to buy of you gold refined in the fire, but the amazing thing is you provide it without money, without cost to us, and it's already paid for by you. We pray that you'll give us experience that will strengthen us for the times ahead, that we can be a witness to those around us of our faith in you, that we can be steadfast in principle, and we pray that you will help us to go through this week living from faith to faith and walking on water. We ask these things in your name. Amen.